This is Rating Descending,
where we watch IMDb's Worst 250 so you don't have to.
My name is Abigail Ward.
And I'm Michelle St. Clair.
And tonight, we're watching Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. The Quest for Piss.
What do I do, cut that out?
Yeah, you gotta. The Man of Steel crusades for nuclear disarmament and meets Lex Luthor's latest creation, Nuclear Man. Let's watch. Michelle.
That's me. I'm Michelle.
To take off where you very rudely cut me out.
Oh my God.
So I had this dream about Christopher Reeve where basically, because I was in bed reading about him, Claude was asleep. I was thinking about how much I love Claude.
To these in a row.
And then I had a dream that Claude had died. And I was like literally waking up and crying, thinking about it. And he woke up being like, what's the matter? And I was like, if you broke your back, I would stand by your side. Please never go on a horse. And then I was looking up like how to like make your husband avoid horses because I was like, what if he encounters a horse and thinks he wants to ride them? I was not in a good state that
you
morning.
You googled how to get your husband to avoid horses?
Let's just say that the night before I had ingested certain drugs that made me feel very paranoid the next morning.
Sure.
And my caffeine. Thinking still wasn't straight.
Yeah.
Caffeine. That's right.
Yeah.
And
being
in the morning,
coffee girl.
My brain still wasn't computing. So I was just looking up like how dangerous a horse is, how to keep my husband away from a horse. That's all I wanted to say.
What Reddit did you go to? r/horses?
Yeah. How do I keep husbands and horses? The Reddit.
How do I keep my husbands away from these things? And then you saw like threads from around the time the Barbie movie came out. And it's all like ideologically how to keep them away from horses.
Yeah,
and you're like,
literally. Physically. When I was a kid, and you know this about me, I'm saying this for the listeners. I thought I was a horse girl. Like, I thought I was, like, I loved the Saddle Club. I loved Stevie.
Well, because you famously, from the, like, thorax down, were, like, horse.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were a full-on horse girl.
Yeah.
Not a centaur,
but a horse
girl.
Exactly.
It's subtle, but it's different.
But I was, like, I love Saddle Club. I had a fucking poster by my bed. I had horse stickers. I was, like, maybe 8 when I went through my horse phase. I was, like, and I kept saying to people, I was, like, I'm a country girl. Mind you, I grew up in Rose Bay in Sydney, which is next to Bondi Beach. I am not a country girl.
Fully
but
in
I was,
the
like,
city.
In my heart of hearts, I'm a country girl. And then my parents took me to a farm and I met a horse. And the dream was instantly crushed.
I don't like horses.
No. Its mouth was so big, it could have fit my entire head into its mouth.
That's what I don't like. So, like, anyone listening who does like horses, what I'm not saying is that horses are terrible.
No,
horses are majestic
beings.
They have a long friendship with humans.
They're very intelligent.
Like, truly, I get the relationship between humans and horses is like humans and dogs, you know? It's like, and humans and cats. They're like partner species, you know? I get it. I'm scared of anything that's bigger than I am because immediately, like, human beings are surprisingly light for how tall we are.
Yeah.
Anything bigger than me is heavier, and thus my life is in its hands.
Yeah.
And it doesn't speak English, so I don't know what its intentions are.
Although, being afraid of things that are bigger than you, that's a lot of things.
Correct.
If you were to think of, like, every object in the world that ever existed in a scale from little to big, ever, 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 where do you think you'd be on that scale? Towards the little side, the big side, or in the middle?
I mean, we live in a universe where there's like galaxies and suns and stuff. Like, obviously minuscule.
But there's only one sun that we know of. So that's one item.
That's not true.
That's... Whereas I want you to tally
Abby,
up every item in the world. Oh, but...
There's not one sun that we know of.
Are they all as big as the sun?
Many of them are much bigger.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Did you not know this?
I don't know anything about space. I'm not a space fan. It freaks me out.
Space fan.
If you ask me anything about, I don't know, the fucking Civil War, I got you. But no, I don't know anything about space. I'm not a fan of it. I would never want to be there.
I didn't say I wanted to be there. I just know about it. I know a lot about a lot of things that I don't.
You think I'm planning like an autumn trip to space, Michelle? No.
I know a lot of things about places I'm not going to go to.
Like what? Oh, okay. So
like,
do you know
like
about
space.
Nebraska?
A little.
I know more about Nebraska.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
No.
They'll get you.
What?
You're too queer. You're too bad.
No, I'm a white woman with a husband. I'll be fine.
Yeah, only if you pretend.
I'll hold his hand a lot.
Okay.
I don't have to pretend I'm in love with him.
No, I didn't. That's not what I meant.
Anyway, the point is, where are you on that scale? Screw the sun.
Okay, so are we just talking about things that live on the Earth? Because again, if we include the universe, there's so many...
The things that you would actually encounter. So yes, everything on the Earth.
Yeah, because the Earth is like atom-sized compared to...
And I'm not talking... I'm talking about anything that you can really see and associate with. So I'm not talking about fucking like atoms, and I'm not talking about the sun. I'm talking about every physical thing you come in contact with on Earth.
But not living... You're not including, like, buildings?
Buildings, trees.
Oh, that's tricky, because if it was animals... Whales. Whilst there are many animals that are larger, many of the animals that are larger are fewer in number, and so we're actually quite large.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, you, I reckon, because also you're a tall person.
I'm quite tall.
Like me.
I'm 6'2".
I feel like on the grand scale, you'd probably be towards the bigger.
Yeah.
Which means that there's so many little things in the world that you don't have to be afraid of.
Yeah, and I don't care about those. I care about the ones that are bigger. They scare me because my life is in their hands. If a horse kicks me, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I don't like dead. I don't like dolphins because they're in the water. I'm in their domain and they're bigger than me. They can choose to kill me.
They have
at prehensile any
penises. They're fucking rapists. All right?
Yeah.
14 cases of dolphin rape a year. Now that's something I know. And that's something I've looked into.
What is this? What podcast?
Maybe I got caught out not knowing anything about the sun.
Listeners.
And it's made me feel a bit insecure.
Sometimes before the episode, we go like, what have you got to talk, just in case we have anything we want to bring up? And Abby was like, don't worry, I do have something I want to talk about.
I wanted to finish my story.
I know.
That you so rudely cut me off from last week.
Here we are, prehensile penises.
14 cases of dolphin rape.
Put that on a t-shirt. that'll be merch.
Too much milk, 14 cases of dolphin rape. It's a bit offensive as a shirt.
No. But then someone's like, what? And they're like, it's from a podcast.
It's from this great podcast.
It's from a movie podcast.
One of the hosts doesn't know anything about space.
No space knowledge, 14 cases of dolphin rape for you. Anyway. There's only one sun. I pity you, Abby.
Hey, what? I live a rich, fulfilling life, okay? You know what? Right now, maybe I don't know a lot about space, but you know what I'm learning about?
What?
Baseball. And what? It is rich and fulfilling.
I thought you were going to say friendship or something to
no,
do.
No, no. Okay, the other day I was looking up Rube Waddell, who was that famous pitcher that was like... known for being the Dollop did an episode about him.
Sure.
Right at the beginning. He's I think people now look back at Rube and they're like, oh, he probably had ADHD. There was a whole plethora of potential diagnoses. Sure. They were like, maybe he was like mentally handicapped.
Oh, sure.
And then talking about, you know, people would call him simple and dumb at the time. But he was, you know, he did seem to have the mind of a Labrador while also being the best pitcher for like that anyone had ever seen in like 1905.
Like Yogi Berra.
Yeah. And so what he did is that he loved fire trucks. So he used to run after them in the middle of a game. He'd just take off after a fire truck. He also loved shiny things and puppies. So
he's
people
a crow.
Used to, yes, he used to, people would bring those items to games to distract him from pitching well.
Oh, that's
and
mean.
It worked.
I thought it would be like they bring, because he liked them.
Well, at first they did, but then that's they were nice. Like, bring a puppy. It'll distract Rube. I mean, it's a game. It's just a baseball game. It's pretty innocent.
No, it's not. But there's a high, like, professional baseball.
This is 1905. It was barely professional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because okay. like I'm like, that's a high stakes game.
Anyway, because of Rube Waddell and all of his strange Rubisms, I feel like I've just gone headlong into baseball. You know how last year it was golf, and it's still golf, and I still golf,
and I
still enjoy golf?
I tried to connect with you about golfing bonanza, and you were not having any
of it.
But
you did buy me a golfing glove for Christmas.
I did, to show you that I love you, and I listen to you.
Thank you. But now this year, it's baseball, so I would like a baseball bat.
Okay.
Signed by Rube Waddell.
I can't do that.
Dig him up.
I can't. I'm not
put
doing...
Put that pen in his hand.
I can't. I'm not.
Make it happen. Anything's possible.
If I write on it, would you know?
You've got pretty bad handwriting and it's very distinct.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah,
that's
probably.
True. It looks pretty terrible
but then
in
Rube
a very
Waddell
unique way.
Was near illiterate, so it doesn't matter.
But that's true. Yeah, listeners, picture bad handwriting. Not like that. That's what my handwriting looks like.
Speaking of bad anything, just because I've already
we've
entertained everyone
endlessly.
For too long, this week we watched Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, and
I've never been so bad. Like, this movie was a real snooze fest, and then I was recounting the plot to a friend, And I was like, this movie was insane.
So I felt the same way, and I didn't find it a snoo. I kind of enjoyed it because when I was a kid, you know, last week we've gone from Batman to Superman. Last week, my exposure to Superman has been far more extensive than Batman. So when I was a kid, I would watch the Christopher Reeve movies, just the first one, I'm pretty sure, maybe the second as a kid. And so I like Christopher Reeve. I like watching him. I enjoyed the film. But then I went to go write the overview.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so right. Because never, ever in like the 4 years of this podcast, well, 3.5 years of this podcast, never have I had to put so many question marks into my overview. Like I found myself being like, and then he gets hit into the moon? ? So I know exactly what you're talking
about.
This
movie's like 90 minutes and 20 minutes of it is Superman sort of like cheating openly on Lois Lane, doing a sitcom bit of the simultaneous date.
Yeah, although he never at any point seems to like Lacey back.
I know, but why go on a date? That's still like, if Claude went on a date with someone else.
I'd be pissed off.
And then he was like, no, but I didn't like her.
That's I'd be like, well, I trust you, honey.
That's terrible.
nothing amiss here.
That's awful.
Getting me riled up.
How does she not know as well? How does Lois Lane not know? She does know, though, right?
I mean, we need to talk about it after the overview. Sure. But what were your overall impressions of the film? You think it's a snooze fest? I thought it was okay, but it was fucking nuts.
It's called The Quest for Peace, and he kind of, Superman achieves world peace like 30 minutes in, and that's not what the movie's about. And then the moral at the end is he decides that he should not have solved the Cold War.
And only humans can solve the Cold War.
Actually, nuclear weapons were a good idea, and he should not have solved the Cold War. Because, and I quote, good fights evil. Terrible. Terrible. Awful, maybe the worst take on the Cold War I've ever heard in my life.
Well, here's my question to you, Michelle. Have you seen the 1978 Superman?
Not since I was a kid. I was originally planning on rewatching it, and then I've just been so fucking swamped with work. I got them. I just didn't get to watch them in one.
So fair. I mean, they are fun. From memory, I really liked them as a kid. Doesn't mean that my judgment was correct. I wasn't the most discerning kid in the world. But I really enjoyed them. I enjoyed Christopher Reeve. And I remember the second one pretty vividly as well. I think they were... like they come hand in hand, you know, they were filmed at the same time.
And I do know that the second one is also famous for studio interference. And that's why like the Donner cut is legendary in film circles.
Skipping ahead. All right. We'll get to
okay.
That.
Sorry. Yeah. It's called foreshadowing, sweaty. Get used to it.
It's very ominous. So I loved those films, but I didn't even know they got up to a fourth one, to be honest, until this.
Because this was after Supergirl, right?
Well, yes. Supergirl was 84.
Yeah.
This was 87. And Supergirl is considered the fourth of the five films within the series in the 80s. I mean, I'll launch into some key details because I do want to talk about the film as quickly as possible. Like, not as quickly as... I want to get into it. I'm not trying to skate past it.
Whoa.
I mean, I could go back to talking about horses.
No. I think we should get into the...
Rube Waddell. Well, here's some key details for you. This film, Superman 4, was directed by Sidney J. Fury and written by Lawrence
Great
Connor.
Name.
I know. And Mark Rosenthal. But the story in particular, is notable because the story was partly created by Christopher Reeve.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So he had a hand in it. He based it on a particular comic, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So he was a bit more like, I've got actually good ideas. What if I helped? And I mean, look how that went.
I mean, he's great as Superman.
He is. He's a great Superman.
I get it now.
Yeah. And I love Christopher Reeve. But then looking into this film, it made me doubt my love for him for a bit.
Sure.
But then I've come back around to Christopher Reeve, and I'll fill you in on this journey later. But in regards to this film, this one made in 1987. And it had 3.7 stars when we locked it into the list. And I think it's still 3.7.
Mm-hmm.
The initial films, I mean, everyone knows about Superman. And I'm not going to go into it as thoroughly as you went into Batman, which was great. But just because I also had that thing where I was like, wow, I'm looking at 30 really big articles about all of the people involved in the creation and development of Superman. And frankly, I just can't be fucked.
Well, also, I think Superman, like the original one, has a lot of stuff about it because it was like the blockbuster along with like Jaws that helped set what a blockbuster is. But Superman 2 and 3, apart from the production history around 2, doesn't have as much interesting as like Batman Returns and Batman Forever and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so, Michelle, did you know that Superman was created by writer Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster and debuted in the comic book Action Comics number 1 in
1938? Oh. I didn't know it was in Action Comics. That's cool.
I know.
And oh, so, AC/DC.
Yeah, nice. Superman from 1978 was directed by Richard Donner, and it came out to very good reviews.
Of
and
the Donner Party?
Of the Donner. I was going to... He has a company called, with his wife called, like, the Donner Company, I think. And I was like, come on. Just, you had an opportunity, yeah. And you missed it.
Well, I think he's skating real close to a line as well.
Yeah, he's probably also completely aware of the opportunity and went, no, thank you.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know if this is good PR.
No. Donner notably directed The Goonies, Scrooged, and by the way, at Christmas, I put Scrooged on the list of films that people could choose to watch because I hosted a Christmas mm-hmm. movie night, and no one seems to know what Scrooged is.
I know what it is.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one else knew what it was.
I didn't want to watch Scrooged and Muppet Christmas Carol.
Why?
I wanted there to be a variety. I mean, I was gunning for Gremlins.
I was gunning for It's a Wonderful Life.
Which I was also gunning for.
Yeah.
Both of these were my picks over Scrooged. It's not against Scrooged. It's more that I'm very pro Gremlins and It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, you know what you shut down, though? Polar Express, which I will never forgive you for.
I don't like Polar Express.
How can you not like Polar Express?
Because I've watched it like 8 times because of you, and I don't care for it.
Just because of me?
Yeah. I saw it like once as a kid, and I was like, eh. And then you have shown it to me so many times. So
well, it's a great Christmas film. As if you don't want to see Tom Hanks play 4 different roles. He does a Jeremy Piven in Spy Kids it's 4.
Yeah, I know. But he also does the mocap for everyone.
Yeah.
So you see behind the scenes and he is everyone.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's just the technology wasn't quite there yet. I get what Zemeckis was doing, but it's upsetting to look at.
You know what? I don't think you learnt from the film. I don't think you learnt how to believe. And I think the reason you don't like that film is because you also still don't believe in Father Christmas. Maybe you should watch it again. Maybe you'll understand it.
No, it's because I believe in George Bailey. That's why I wanted to watch It's a Wonderful Life, right?
Oh my God.
I believe George, in Jimmy Stewart.
You're the moment.
Is that Jimmy Stewart?
Shooting out of your fingers in your mouth on the moonbeam.
What a moon, Mary. Is this good radio?
Definitely not. And Richard Donner did the Lethal Weapon series.
Oh, I always forget that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a guy.
Yeah. I love the Goonies. We've talked about this.
Yeah, I love the Goonies too. And so Superman 2 came out in 1980. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it was shot at the same time as Superman 1, which means it was shot by Richard Donner.
Uh-huh.
And then there was an infamous thing where the production people fired him and brought on a new director because of them butting heads.
Yeah.
And so Richard Donner lost the project that he had been working on and had already shot.
I didn't realize that was what happened. Jesus.
Yeah, Richard Lester came in to complete it and ended up having to do a couple of reshoots to make it more his vision. Well, here's what it says here. It says, tensions rose between original director Richard Donner and the producers in which a decision was made to stop filming the sequel, of which 75% had already been completed and finished the first film. Following the release of Superman in December 1978, Donner was controversially fired as a director, which is odd because the film did really well. It was praised, it got quite good acclaim, and people that worked with Donner were like, he was fantastic. All of the cast and crew loved him. And were like, they were really devastated when they found out. Several members of the cast and crew declined to return in the wake of Donner's firing. To be officially credited as the director, Lester had to reshoot most of the film, in which principal photography resumed in September 1979.
Oh my God.
And ended in March 1980. Donner has his own edit of the second film called the Donner version.
Mm.
Then there was Superman 3 that came out in 1983,
mm-hmm.
also directed by Richard Lester. Although the film recouped the budget of $39 million, it proved less successful than the first two Superman films, both financially and critically.
I mean, $39 million in 83 is enormous. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
While harsh criticism focused on the film's comedic and campy tone, which sounds great to me, as well as on the casting and performance of Pryor, Richard Pryor.
Oh, right.
The special effects and Christopher Reeve's performance as Superman were praised. But it starts getting wonky, essentially. And people seem to hate Superman 3.
Right.
Then we have Supergirl, 1984, which is considered the fourth installment. And then we've got Superman 4, Here We Are Now.
Wow, wow, wow.
Our film of the week.
That's a cool little rundown.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
That's now, a clap. I'm not fapping. I'm not fapping.
Are you fapping?
I'm not fapping. Here are my hands.
It so much. Where's the other one?
Here are my hands.
Where's the other one?
Nowhere. It's not doing anything.
Is it reaching around into your ass?
No.
What the fuck?
No.
Here's the overview. And again, I'm sorry about the rising like inflection at the end of each fucking sentence. You'll understand why. Clark Kent and Lois Lane, who work for the Daily Planet newspaper, meet tabloid tycoon David Warfield and his daughter, Lacey. Perry White is fired and Lacey is hired as editor of the paper. She soon forms a crush on Clark. After tensions over a nuclear war with Russia, Superman announces before the UN that he will rid the world of nuclear weapons. Also, I love how when he announces it, he doesn't explain how.
He doesn't.
He says it, everyone claps and he walks off.
It mostly involves, as far as I can tell, both countries choosing to fire the weapons into space, which he then guides slightly further out into space.
Yeah. Lex Luthor breaks out of prison thanks to his nephew, Lenny. They develop a superhuman named Nuclear Man. I have to skate over a lot as to how they invented the Nuclear Man, by the way.
Yeah, it seemed to be genetic material that is fish
it's
skin.
It's like a hair as well that they had to stick to.
Well, didn't he have some silvery thing that looked like fish skin?
And then it was a big ball of energy.
They put it in the nuclear warhead. It's kind of implied to be Lex's genetic material.
Yeah, yeah, because he's meant to be like his dad.
Yeah.
So they make Nuclear Man.
Yeah.
Who needs sunlight to survive. Nuclear Man tries to throw the Statue of Liberty onto some people, But Superman saves the day, getting clawed by Nuclear Man in the process. I love Nuclear Man's, like, little camp nails that shoot out of his fingers. Yeah. They look like just silver metallic, like, press-on nails. Superman is infected by radiation sickness and loses his cape when kicked really far.
Wait, could you find... Is that...
He gets kicked by Nuclear Man, and he's just spinning in the one shot.
Cuts to the next scene, and everyone's like, "Where's Superman?"
Well, then it just cuts to his cape falling by itself, kind and then everyone's like, "Superman's dead." Okay.
Well, wait, did you find, is that part of Superman that he is weak to radiation? Because Lex seemed to already know that this would happen.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know enough about the Superman lore. There's too much of it.
If it was kryptonite, I would be like, that makes sense. But it's radiation, and I just didn't know that was a thing.
I frankly don't care.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Continue. Sorry.
With Metropolis thinking Superman died, Lois professes her love for Superman to Clark. Clark heals himself with a Kryptonian energy module.
Which is not kryptonite, but glows green exactly like kryptonite, right?
Well, it's an energy module, Michelle. What else do you need to know?
I'll just say it here. Saying that something exists at the beginning of a movie is not the same thing as adequately setting it up.
So it's not Chekhov's energy module?
Because it's still a deus ex machina that is gibberish. Just because it now magically is there does not mean that later when he magically has it, I'm not still like, fuck off, you know?
Nuclear Man wants to find Lacey after he saw a photo of her and got a crush. Instantly, Superman and Nuclear Man fight on the moon. And Superman is like, this is my wording, is like pushed, into the moon's surface, Yeah. It's like he's kind of knocked out or paralyzed. And then he starts beating Superman by the shoulder down into the crust of the moon. Yeah. And then pushes some dirt over
stuffed
the top
into
of
the
it.
Moon.
Like string cheese into the crust of a pizza, you know?
That's not stuffed. How they put cheese in pizza.
They don't beat it by the shoulder.
They don't make a pizza with a hole in it and then shove cheese in. They fold the pizza dough around
Michelle,
the cheese.
I've had a lot of stuffed pizza. I think I know how it's made.
Sorry.
All right?
Sorry, I shouldn't tell you how the cheese pizza's made.
I even make it at home. That's how obsessed I am. And I really do just stuff it.
That's crazy. Your technique is terrible.
Nuclear Man abducts Lacey, so when Superman frees himself from the moon... Which seems incredibly easy and very instant.
Yeah.
He pushes it out of Earth's orbit. He pushes the moon out of Earth's orbit.
Yeah.
Without the sun, Nuclear Man has no powers. Superman takes Lacey back to Earth and destroys Nuclear Man. He recaptures the Luthers and returns Lex to prison. Perry White regains control over the Daily Planet. And for some reason, Clark or Superman and Lois do not have a final kiss.
No.
That's the end. The end.
So does Lois Lane know or not?
No.
Because I kind of thought she already did, especially because at the around like what, like 30, 40 minutes in, there's a bit where Clark is like, I want to go outside for some fresh air.
And that bit is so good.
She walks with him and then he just starts walking, singing days.
Okay. While she's walking with him.
Yeah.
If you've said to your friend, I need to go out, I need some fresh air, she is the most annoying friend to ask of that, because when she was walking out with him, he stepped like 1 foot outside and she was like, do you feel better yet?
Yeah.
I was like, you fucking unhelpful bitch.
But he just keeps walking and looking really distressed and then clearly is going to go over the side and she runs up to him saying, things aren't that bad, Clark.
She doesn't even run up to him. The hand in hand, arm in arm the whole time. And she's like, what? What's going on? Things aren't that bad. What are you doing, Clark? No!
I love things aren't that bad. Yeah, so
things aren't that bad.
He drags her off. She's falling and then suddenly he's Superman.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I was like, oh, so she does know.
Well, she knows when he's Superman. And then at the end of that, well, at the end of the sequence together where they're kissing and he says he loves her, he goes and she loses her memory. And she can't remember that Clark is Superman again.
But why?
I did not care to know.
Okay.
That's my tagline this episode. I do not care to know.
That's it. What is it? 14 cases of dolphin rape per year. I do not care to know is on the back.
There's a lot of franchises we have to explore, and Superman is so never-ending as a franchise, I can't be fucked digging into it.
Yeah, because...
I'm sure the answer's in the previous film.
They go on a romantic thing, and then she...
They fly together.
And then she lands, and she acts as if she has a concussion. She's like, what? What just happened? And Clark walks from inside, and she's like, what just happened? I'm like, you walked off the side of the building with him, and then he turned into Superman.
I think the idea is that when he's Superman, he can be with her, and she then won't remember. But in saying that, there's plenty of other times that he's Superman with her, and she remembers.
She fully remembers. Why, like,
I do not want to know. Hey, listeners, do not email us at readingdescending@gmail.com about this. I don't want to know the answer. Frankly, I do not care to find out.
Because that's baffling, but I'm like, okay, so she doesn't know, especially in the whole like sitcom. Oh, he's got two dates at the same time, but they're both in the same fucking room. And so he's just constantly running out of the room and then flying around the building.
Yeah.
But then the bit where he's sick, she's like, Superman is missing. I know who to go to as well because Clark isn't here. Suspicious that they're both gone. Goes over to his house where he is so sick and unwell.
From the radiation sickness.
And she starts talking to him about Superman in what can only be described as a clear, thinly veiled speech to inspire Clark.
Do you think so, though?
The
vibe I got is that she's truly still unaware.
But she delivers the speech like in a fantasy movie when a character reveals that they're a god or something. Like they're just like, I know more than I'm letting on, but I'm really trying to inspire you.
No, it feels more like I'm going to unknowingly perk you up and give you the sucker that you need to get this done because I still don't know that.
Why did she start talking about Superman?
Because she loves him. And she thinks
Clark
he's dead.
Clark is sick.
Well, she thinks he's dead. She's like, everyone's saying Superman's dead, but I just know that he's not. And something brought me here to you.
What I know, it's just be? He's like fully throwing up. He looks like he's going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. If I was like that sick and then someone came over and they just started talking about like their love interest, I'd be like, sure, but I'm really sick, man.
I've seen sick one time. And it was the day I got engaged.
It was. Quite famously.
It was the day after my birthday and I'd had some birthday drinks. It wasn't a massive affair. Like, I think me and Claude and two other friends are the latest to stay up and we went to sleep by like 2 or 3. You retired early. You didn't drink too much. You had maybe 4 drinks. And then in the morning when I came out, you were lying face first on like just on the carpet, stomach on the carpet, hands out, legs out. And I thought you were just kind of doing a, oh, I feel hungover a bit. So I was like, oh, Michelle, oh, man, hope you're holding up, buddy. Went back to my room. And then an hour later, as we were preparing to leave so Claude could propose to me, which I did not know, you texted me asking me to come to the bathroom. And when I came to the bathroom, you were in like child's pose, knickers down, And you looked so grey, I thought you were dead. And you were crying and you'd been vomiting and you were like, I'm so sick. Yeah. And there was this bit where I put you into bed and I put you in the recovery position,
yeah.
gave you water, gave you medicine, waited an hour to see how you were, and I popped back in. I was like, Michelle? And there was like no response, and I crept in and I grabbed your head to bring your face up to mine, and you kind of looked at me, and in that moment I was like, she's dying. She's like a child with polio on their deathbed.
The response of what you did to that, by the way, was to do nothing.
What do you mean?
What did you do after that?
Well, I literally let you keep sleep. What else could I do? Because you were like, I thought you were sleeping.
Yeah, okay.
What did you want me to do?
It sounded like I needed to go to a hospital.
But you didn't, did you? Because you ended up sleeping. And then we were like, I guess you just had a really bad hangover.
Yeah, but the whole meanwhile, Claude is like, but I think she's okay now. We really got to go.
He wasn't. He was I thought you said he was. And I was like, oh, we'll just see how she goes.
I'm butchering this story for you. I'm so sorry.
You've misremembered it. You weren't really present.
I wasn't really there for the story.
I think I remember what happened that day a bit better than you.
This is not a story that I participated in.
No. Claude was very good about it. He was like, we should stay. And I was like, we should, but we'll see what happens. And then Brooke was coming home from work anyway.
Yeah,
and then I was like, okay, well, Brooke will take care of it.
I've never been that sick in my life.
Like, you were terrible.
It was just...
I waited 2 hours to check you were okay.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
No, I wasn't trying to say that, you know, don't worry. You're fine. You were a saint. You really helped.
I was.
Thank you so much.
I kept checking in on you while you slept.
And to be fair, it was baffling to everyone because I have had nights where I've drunk more. The real trick was that no one realized that I didn't eat anything for like a day and a half prior to that.
It was only 4 drinks. I'm sorry.
I think I had 6.
Okay.
And they were all different drinks.
That's probably what did it.
Yeah.
6 drinks, that's fine. But the different mixes together.
With nothing else in my stomach.
Yeah. Okay. But you were like, it was gnarly. You were crying. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, this film, the CGI.
wait, let me just... Boop. Oh, great. I can just cut all of that out.
No, it's good content. The CGI in this film.
I feel conflicted because some of it I know is like the iconic Superman flying stuff. I think when he's flying with Lois Lane, it looks at its best.
And even then.
Yeah.
It's notably still worse than it was 7 years prior. They just didn't have the budget for the CGI.
Yeah, that's
true. So, like,
true.
The flying effects in the first one, obviously, they look green screened, but they're more believable. There's been more time and effort put in to make them actually gel together. You know, Christopher Reeve in a fucking harness and this green screen.
There's a bit where he's fighting Nuclear Man, who I kept writing down as Evil Sun Superman.
Yeah.
Because he really seems to just... That's all I could understand. I'm like, so he's made of the sun and he's evil.
Yeah.
Also, he keeps being described as being made of the sun, but he's made of nuclear energy. But that's because Lex is like, the sun is a nuclear reactor, which I guess is kind of true.
Hey, notably, I don't know much about the sun. So
you think there's only one?
There's only one, and I don't think it's a nuclear reactor. Try me.
What do you think it is?
Not a nuclear reactor.
That's not what something is. That's what it isn't. What do you think it is?
Probably like a big...
like a light bulb?
No, a big orb of pineapple jelly wibble wobbling. When you get closer to it.
With a like fire boing. In the middle.
Yeah. It's also on fire on the outside.
Oh, sure.
But the core of it
is pineapple jelly.
Yeah.
Oh, so I had it in reverse. I thought it was a fire in the middle with pineapple jelly at the
Wrong
outside.
Way.
Wrong way. It's pineapple jelly on the inside, fire on the outside.
Yeah.
So the unit, the sun will go out once the fire reaches the center, right? It was once all pineapple jelly, and it's just slowly melting inwards.
But God's already brewing up another batch of raspberry jelly this time. The next sun's going to be cool.
It's going to be red?
Yeah.
That's going to be so scary.
No, it'll be pretty.
No, it'll be scary. It'll
be pretty.
We walk around, there'll be this red light over everything.
Yeah, but then the sky will be green.
It's horrifying. What?
Everything's topsy-turvy in the next world.
If I'm walking around and there's a red light on everything and the sky's green, that's terrible. That's so upsetting.
Well, that's a whole other... Okay, that's offensive because that's someone's whole world. Okay.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. Hypothetically, it's the next civilization's world and you're shitting on it.
Okay.
They might come back and find these tapes in our blue-skied, yellow-sunned world.
Yeah.
Talking about how shit it would be to have a red sun and a green sky, and they're going to be fucking crying.
You know what? And you know what they would say?
What?
Blue sky, yellow sun. That sounds terrifying.
It's terrible.
That's
terrible. I don't even like pineapple jelly.
And I'd be like, I get it. I get it. That's not what you like. That's not what you're
I'm
into.
I'm just saying, some people might have sensitivities. Just because you're okay with it doesn't mean they'll be okay with it.
I don't have to appeal to every single person's sensitivities. Some people just suck.
You know, like, I'm fine with offending the listeners that we have now, but it's the listeners in the next civilization that I'm really careful of.
I can excuse offending our current listeners.
I don't want to be cancelled in a billion years by the next civilization, so.
So in a billion years, the sun will go out and be replaced by a red sun.
Yes, the raspberry jelly sun.
Which will, of course, make the sky green, mm-hmm. as we all know.
Yep. It's because it will be reflecting off of the acid pools.
You're introducing a whole... Where did those come from?
Well, if the sky is blue because it reflects the ocean,
that's
then the sky is green because it reflects the acid pool. That's not why the sky is blue. Pool. Yes, it is.
That's why the ocean's blue.
Oh, yeah.
Also, where did the acid pools come from?
Michelle, I need you to... We need to start again because all the listeners will know that I don't understand how both the sky, the ocean, and the sun work.
This is Rating Dissenting.
Even that tired. I'm just dumb.
It's not. Don't worry, listeners. Don't worry. None of it is that we're overtired or overworked. Abby's just like this.
But if you ask me about Shergar the horse or Rube Waddell or U.S. Civil War general, I'm all over
your
it.
Knowledge is selective but in depth.
Yeah,
it's just you have these big blind spots.
Claude often jokes that if I was a man, I'd be insufferable.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
Because my interests are just so, like... Claude is always like, you have the interests of an autistic man.
Yeah, but,
like,
you do.
An autistic, like, 60-year-old man.
You're a 60-year-old dad.
Yeah.
Who is autistic, yeah.
He struggles to say I love you to his kids.
But instead, you're just a bisexual woman with ADHD.
I still think about those Civil War logs. $18,000.
Yeah. Oh, they're a real log.
They're a real log wood log. With shrapnel in it.
Yeah.
Just for $18,000, it could be mine.
Now, conversely, you're asking me, like, how does the sun work? I don't know what the ocean is.
No, I don't care to know. I don't think you're listening. I'm not asking. I just got it wrong, but I do not care to be corrected.
Sorry. Conversely, I all the time am like, Abby, how does this thing work? And it's like a social interaction. I'm like, how do I talk to people? If someone wants me to talk to them, what would I say?
But you don't really ask me that often. I just offer you unsolicited advice.
That's true. I guess I don't ask because you just offer it. I ask Gayden because otherwise he wouldn't offer it.
Yeah, whereas I'm more forthright and rude.
That's true. I'm
like, you're not doing it right.
Sometimes I ask Gayden in front of you and you just belittle me.
Well, I can't deny it. Got me backed up in a corner. You think I'm not going to start lashing out at you, Michelle?
But you belittle me in a loving way.
Yes, like a big sister would.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm older, but yeah.
Yeah.
And taller. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm bigger.
And yet.
Damn it. She fucking got me. We got to talk about this movie.
We got to talk about the movie. CGI sucked, man.
Yeah.
I would like you to cut the bit about me not understanding the sun and the sea.
Well, okay, do you understand that it's strange to me when what's her name? Tracy? Lacey? Lacey.
Lacey.
I don't think this movie understands how space works. Because I was like at the beginning when the cosmonaut gets like fucking thwacked by a satellite and I was like, oh, I didn't realize Superman didn't have to breathe when he saves the cosmonaut. Also, I mean, they open the thing, there's no depressurization or anything. Yeah.
There's a lot of people ranting about that in the goof section.
Okay, great. Because Lacey gets taken into space and she's fine.
She's fine.
She's totally fine.
I love when she gets kidnapped by, I was going to call him Neutron Man, Nuclear Man.
Yeah.
Because he grabs her. Superman. She does not put up a fight. She just kind of falls into his arms and then he whisks her away while she looks like absent-minded.
Mr. Waddell or whatever, like he does like...
Warfield.
Warfield. He does like jump in between them for like all of 1 second before Sun Superman just pushes him away.
Fully. And then he's gone. He's up in space. And so apparently in the Donner edit, I didn't include this in the trivia, but apparently in the Donner edit, Richard Donner tried to basically CGI on... a suit for Lacey because he was like, why the fuck is she up there without a suit? Yeah. Like, how is she able to breathe? And he tried to CGI something to explain. It's bizarre.
It's so weird.
And I mean, like, I also just want to quickly talk about the cast, by the way, because yes. Lacey is played by Mariel Hemingway.
Mm.
And Mariel Hemingway is obviously Ernest Hemingway's daughter.
Yeah.
And she was notably... my burp. She was notably... it was not that funny.
Why'd you give it a title afterwards?
She was notably my burp.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yep.
It wasn't that funny, but you still misunderstood it.
Damn it. This is what we're... So you don't get the sun, and I don't get this.
Yes, we've all got our weaknesses. Mario Hemingway was notably the 17-year-old girlfriend of Woody Allen's character in Manhattan.
Oh, that's right. That's why she's familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I like think about Manhattan or I watch it, I'm like, man, I love that movie. And then I remember that and I'm like, ah.
There's always that caveat with any Woody Allen film where you're like, yeah. I love the atmosphere and the vibe. And then, oh, look at the way he's talking to that 16-year-old girl. That's really fucking weird.
Yeah. It's like, why is she?
She's obsessed with me. I'm a 40-year-old lecturer from New York and I've just got this 17-year-old girl and she's beautiful, but she just doesn't have anything to say on fucking Leo Strauss.
He loves to belittle young women.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know about Gershwin? Ah!
Yeah.
So that's her. Obviously, we've got Christopher Reeve as Clark Kent and Superman. Gene Hackman, again, as Lex
Hackman
Luthor.
Hackman is killing it.
He's killing it.
He's doing so good.
And he's such a great guy as well. Gene Hackman as a dude, fantastic guy.
Really? I didn't know that.
Real chiller.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, apparently even the director, Sidney J. Fury, was like, he was a delight to work with.
Oh, that's fun.
He had a great time. He was really, like, he was probably the only thing that kept the set really positive.
Yeah.
And also, I love him as Little Bill in Unforgiven. He's good in everything.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Conversation?
Yeah, I love that movie.
He's so fucking good in
that. He's so fucking great in that movie.
Mark Pillow played Nuclear Man. This was his one and only role ever in anything.
I wrote him down as, is that orange Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah. Jackie Cooper plays Perry White, as he did with the other films as well. Jackie Cooper is in everything. He's like this classic American leading man and character actor. Been around for years and years.
You know who I think could play Jackie Cooper in if there was a Jackie Cooper biopic? What? Is Fred Willard.
Yeah, I see that.
Right?
Is Fred Willard still alive?
I hope so.
Yeah.
If not, you know who could play a Fred Willard in a Fred Willard biopic? And then I wish I had one.
Well, you know who I was thinking of who could play Fred Willard?
Who?
Do you remember in The Mighty Boosh how like there's the episode where they have, Vince has a copycat, and they get the guy to copy Howard.
And he's in Horrible Histories.
And he's in Horrible Histories.
That guy.
I feel like he could play.
Okay, so that guy could play Fred Willard playing Jackie Cooper in a biopic.
Yes.
And he has the range for it.
He does. Mark McClure plays Jimmy Olsen, as he did in the previous films. And Mark McClure was Marty McFly's older brother from Back to the Future, if you recognize him.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that Marty McFly has a brother.
He does have a... I mean, he's in the photograph that's slowly, slowly disappearing.
But yeah, but that's not the bit I'm looking at.
Mm, but it... But what?
I mean, when I see someone disappearing out of a photograph, I'm not like, who are all of the family members? I'm like, oh my God, that guy's disappearing out of that photograph.
So you're looking at all the leaves behind them, just not the people?
No, I'm...
You're not taking it in.
I'm looking at... Yeah, I'm not taking it in. I'm paying more attention to the fact that one of them is vanishing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, two of them are vanishing.
Who's the other one that's vanishing?
His sister.
Why is his sister vanishing? Michelle. I guess I gotta rewatch.
Because he's changing history, and so he's losing his siblings.
I guess it's time to watch Back to the Future.
I guess it is. Because he's fucking up his parents' relationship, his siblings are disappearing like he is. His hand starts fading.
That's the power of love. And that's all we can use legally. No.
Sorry. I've told you, I have to stop starting everything with, you know this. When I worked at JB Hi-Fi, I used to get to like be in charge of the music and put on CD after CD on the shop floor. And... one day I thought it'd be really funny to put on 6 back-to-back Huey Lewis and the News compilations and then kind of lock the CD box so that no one could actually change it. And the next day I came in and my manager was like, don't do that again. It was way funnier in my head, but apparently people were like losing their shit. It had John Cryer playing Lenny Luthor.
Yes.
As the nephew of Lex.
He gives my favorite line delivery in the whole thing, just towards the beginning. Because he gets rid of the guards by tricking them into sitting in his car. And then he has like an RC like remote control, like for an RC car kind of one. And he just closes the windows and doors and then top and then drives it off a cliff.
Yeah.
But there's a point before that where he goes, oh no.
Yeah.
He was so fun. Great. He was fun. He's kind of nothing, but he's fun.
I think John Cryer often, to me at least, is nothing. Like, John Cryer to me feels like the budget.
I mean, the character's kind of
the budget Matthew Broderick. That's how he feels.
Oh, that's brutal, but fair.
He's also, you know, the lead in Pretty in Pink. And I fucking hate that film, to be honest. It is not John Hughes' best film.
It's not John Hughes' best film. I really enjoyed it. I think he's great as Ducky. I don't think he's budget Matthew Broderick. I think both of them suffer from the thing of being like young, charismatic, but kind of dorky, and then aging into...
But then also looking very similar as well. Feeling the same physical description.
And then they kind of age into, you know, the Matthew Broderick thing of just like boring businessman.
Yeah, but at least Matthew Broderick had the charisma to carry off a role like Ferris Bueller. John Cryer could never. He just could never.
Sure.
Couldn't have done it.
I mean, he did Ducky.
Yeah, Ducky was a loser. That was the point.
Well...
He wasn't a Ferris Bueller type. He was like her loser best friend.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Is Ferris Bueller actually cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the coolest guy in school.
Is he?
Yeah.
Why is he friends with Cameron?
Well, Cameron, I guess the childhood best friends. But there's that bit where he's calling school and everyone's like, oh my God, is Ferris on the line?
That's true.
Hi,
yeah,
Ferris. How are you? He's a total jock.
Well, yeah, you're right. But Ducky's the kind of guy who's like, when you're an adult, you realize he's one of the cooler guys there. I liked Ducky in Pretty in Pink. I don't need to explain myself to you.
Well, the problem is John Cryer also then went on to do 2.5 Men, which plagued free-to-air TV for our entire childhoods growing up. And so you couldn't escape him.
Yeah.
And the terrible laugh
so
tracks
much,
that came
It's why it's
him.
So bizarre watching young John Cryer. And I'm like, oh my God, he had Riz.
Yeah. And then he had to sell his soul for 2.5 Men. And look, I get it. With the paychecks that big, that's fine. You do you. But oh my God. Charlie... Come to bed.
I don't know if I could handle being like a decade of everyone going like, oh my God, Charlie Sheen and the kid are so good in that. And being you being John Cryer being like, yeah.
I'm the straight guy.
Huh, yeah, okay.
Well, when you say it like that, I have a lot more empathy for him.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Then we've got Sam Wanamaker, who plays David Warfield.
Yeah.
Sam Wanamaker, I fucking love him. Also, he's the father of Zoe Wanamaker.
Who is great.
Best voice in the biz, in my opinion. She plays Ariadne Oliver in Poirot. I fucking love that bitch. And then you've got Margot Kidder, who plays Lois Lane, and she plays every Lois. Like, she played Lois Lane in every film.
Yeah,
so
she
what
plays
I like,
every Lois.
Unlike Batman, there was not that many inconsistencies with the cast. People kept coming back.
Whereas, I mean, Hackman's great. And by the way, I will say, I love Gene Hackman. We talked about The Conversation. You know, we could talk about... I mentioned The French Connection all the time. Really, I know him best as General Mandible from Ants.
Oh.
That's the general from Ants.
No way.
Yeah, that's why every time I see him, there's a bit of me that's like, is that Gene Hackman? And then I'm like, it's the voice. Why do I recognize Ants? Ants.
Ants.
Every time I'm like wondering, who is that? It's Ants.
I should watch Ants again. It's been too long.
I don't know if it holds up that much, but it's really? Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun.
Is Ants the one that's better or worse than Bug's Life?
What a controversial question. I think A Bug's Life is the better movie. I think the political messaging of Ants is stronger because this is what we've talked about on this very podcast. A Bug's Life is about defending the monarchy from a fascist takeover, right? Because the crickets are coming in and they're like, we gotta stop the Kevin Spacey crickets, just like the Me Too movement. We gotta stop the Kevin Spacey crickets from taking over, and in place we will retain the power of the Queen. Ants is about a deconstruction of the monarchy in the face of a military coup, right? And so the princess joins the revolution in stopping the military coup that does in fact occur as, you know, their natural home and environment is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But as an actual movie, I don't know, it's a little washy. Its second act gets a little boring.
Whereas A Bug's Life is a better movie.
I think it's a better movie.
Interesting. Thank you for the analysis.
Yeah.
Very in depth.
I saw Ants a lot. It was one of the like 6 VHS tapes that my dad had at his house.
Nice. And then lastly, I just wanted to point out, did you notice a very young Jim Broadbent?
I did.
That was fucked.
Doing a Russian voice as like one of the 3 generals that he's talking to.
I've never seen that man not have gray hair.
I know.
It's bizarre.
And he pulled the one face that Jim Broadbent does when he looks like kind of confused.
Mm.
Well, it makes him look kind of confused, but he's not playing confused.
Oh. What an actor. I do feel like he is like the best British character actor. And when he dies, it will be devastating.
Yeah.
I'm not one to have a parasocial relationship, but you can bet that I talk to Jim Broadbent every night
in
my dreams.
I think it'll be one of those nice times on Twitter where then a bunch of people, sometimes when something that happens, then everyone just like shares clips of their favorite moments of that
person.
Like,
or people are like,
beautiful.
Oh, I worked with Jim back in 2005.
Yeah.
And he was such a great guy.
That'll
like when
nice.
Alan Rickman died and everyone was like, what a champ.
What a champ.
What a guy. Yeah. I mean, in terms of like the actual CGI for this film as well, just like the flying sequences, they always cracked me up. There was so much about the fight sequences with the nuclear man on the moon, with Superman and his fighting. I feel like there was, it was so camp and yet so boring at the same time.
So flat. Like the most entertainment I got was from my favorite sequence after Sun Superman is born, after Nuclear Man is born, just in space, sort of loosely. He just sort of emerges from himself.
Yeah.
He insists upon himself.
Well, he was created by the sun.
Sort of.
That's what Superman says.
Yeah, but he also was created by a nuke, right?
And by a... Yeah, and also by a fucking strand of hair.
Also,
and like,
how did no country detect that a nuke was fired off? Why were they not like, what the fuck is going on?
Just, Michelle, sit in okay. the ignorance is bliss space with me, okay? Okay, we don't need to know.
Because then he returns and talks to Gene Hackman, who he then lights Gene Hackman's cigarette. And Gene Hackman turns around and says, the power of sun has given him internally generated heat. And then we see a reverse shot to see what he's looking at. And no one else is there.
Yeah.
He delivers it like he's talking to someone. Yeah. But he's not talking to anyone.
Yeah.
And then he just says that he's his father. And then Nuclear Man goes, I am the father now. And we haven't even talked about how he's played by Mark Pillow, but voiced by Gene Hackman doing a deep voice.
There was so many ADRs that were so weird in this film as well. Now that you mentioned, do you remember that bit where the kid's in class? Jeremy's in class looking out the window.
Yeah.
And the teacher asks him a question and they ADR the two lines of dialogue he says afterwards. Yeah. But it's really jarring.
It's really
it's like,
jarring.
Well, I can't even do it. I can't even.
Don't scream into the microphone. Ow.
Sorry.
Hurt my real ears. I'm don't. Abby! I'm laughing, but I'm really annoyed.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm more petulant as an adult, and I was so well behaved as a kid.
Yeah, you're trying to get it out of your system now.
Yeah, I guess so. A lot of guilt all the time as a kid, so I never acted out of line.
Whereas as a kid, I was really anxious, and as an adult, what else in this movie did you like?
Yeah, so, what did I like? Very little. But what did I enjoy?
Yeah.
I loved Nuclear Man's fucking wrestler outfit.
Yes.
Nuclear Man was so, so camp. He had this like fucking like, you know, a classic wrestler's like
leotard,
and it's like really deep cut leotard, and he just looks like he's got a cape on with his long nails,
but with like extra personal effects that make it also look like it could be from Zardoz.
Yeah. I feel like that was kind of the thing I enjoyed the most was every scene with Nuclear Man.
I think
to
the
be
thing
honest.
I liked the least was when they're fighting on the moon and then it knocks over the American flag and Superman goes back over to it and then like replants the American flag. And it's like 5 minutes of this movie is just him and the American flag on the moon.
But then at least 2 minutes later, you get to watch him getting beaten down into the moon. So that was a highlight for me.
I didn't really understand what was going on at the end because he just sort of seems to knock Nuclear Man away and then he's in the dark.
Yeah.
And then he just takes
him. Destroys him.
Oh, no, that's right. It's the because it's the funniest solution to the problem. It's like, how do you defeat this guy? And he takes the unconscious Nuclear Man down to Earth and he just drops him into a nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
Which powers the city back up. That's the funniest solution possible to this problem.
This film was silly. I mean, do you want to hear some trivia about this film?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Believe it or not, Wes Craven was set to direct.
What?
Yep. I didn't even know he was fucking directing around this time.
What? Yeah.
But it was replaced after creative differences with Christopher Reeve. The movie's original...
Wait, with Christopher Reeve? Or
yeah.
With Fury?
With Christopher Reeve.
To direct this?
Yeah.
But Christopher Reeve didn't direct this.
No. He was replaced after creative differences with Christopher Reeve.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I understand. The movie's original budget was $36 million.
Oh, wow.
But just before filming was to begin, the Cannon Group, which was the production company, was experiencing financial problems and they slashed the budget back down to $17
million. Oh.
The filmmakers cut corners by doing things like reusing special effects.
Well, and also there's a bit where a guy is meant to be blown away by like an explosion or by Nuclear Man, and it's clearly just reversed footage of the guy running up to the
thing.
Yeah,
they used reverse footage a lot, which is so stupid. In the original script, funny you say that right now. In the original script, Superman was supposed to rebuild the Great Wall of China at super speed. When financial problems hit, they had Superman use his magical rebuilding power, which only required director Sidney J. Fury to run the camera in reverse. So apparently, notoriously with this film, it was originally 134 minutes, and then they cut out a good 45 minutes.
Oh my God.
Down to 90 minutes.
How is it still this slow?
I know, but then the producers considered using the deleted footage as the groundwork for a fifth film, which sounds so harrowing to me. Like, the idea of, like, you're on this film and you're like, great, so when do we start? And it's like, well, actually, we're just going to use scraps from the last film and then we'll try and make something out of it. And it's, you're like, oh.
It's literally sloppy fifths.
Yeah, sloppy fifths.
It's terrible.
John Cryer later said of this film, they ran out of film financing before it was done. They had to cut together an incomplete movie. There's effect shots that don't make any sense. There's huge scenes missing. I swear, in the original script, it made more sense. Poor John Cryer.
This is what I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, yeah. With the advent of the internet, the film has been a subject of fan re-edits.
Oh.
Fans took upon themselves to redo the film's special effects and plot inconsistencies.
Wow.
Which is very sweet.
That's kind of cool.
In Christopher Reeve's autobiography, Still Me, he only refers to Superman 4 in this one sentence. The less said about Superman 4, the better. He wrote that it was a catastrophe from start to finish, that the failure was a huge blow to my career. He's publicly regretted it in numerous interviews, and the failure of this film and switching channels, which came out in 1988, made Christopher Reeve take a 4-year hiatus from film acting.
Oh my God.
Not appearing on screen again until Noises Off in 1992.
Oh my God.
Have you seen Noises Off?
No, I haven't.
It's based on like a play and it is so fucking good. It's got Carol Burnett and the whole idea is that like it's these moving rooms within a house. It's slapstick but really smart.
That's cool.
It's really well done. It's very
Carol
physical.
Burnett's great with smart slapstick.
Exactly. So it's actually a really good film. And I remember Christopher Reeve was a real standout in it. So he needed that break. And also he, according to Margot Kidder, who played Lois, she and Christopher Reeve did not get along during filming.
Mm.
Kidder states that Reeve's ego was inflated because he co-wrote the story.
Mm.
And then also I read that he didn't get along with Sidney J. Fury either. They would clash nonstop.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what the fuck? Because I always had this idea that Christopher Reeve was a really nice dude, but everything I read about the trivia was he was really difficult. He was really difficult on set.
Mm.
He didn't want to compromise. He had a vision. I think they gave him the license to be like, do the story. And so he got really obsessed with creative control.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, that's not the Christopher Reeve that I know. And then I was looking up Christopher Reeve just in general, being like, was he a good dude? And then there were things that I read that really validated why I thought he was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen his film Somewhere in Time?
No,
I haven't. 1980? Oh, it's so beautiful. It's got a John Barry score.
You really are quite the Reeve head.
I am. I've seen a lot of his films. But Somewhere in Time is beautiful. And it's like about this guy and he's at a party. It's like late 70s, made in 1980. But late 70s, he's at a party and this old woman comes up to him and gives him a watch.
Oh.
And he's really... He finds it really odd and he can't get the old woman out of his mind and he goes to like a hypnotherapist who hypnotizes him with the watch and it sends him back in time.
Ooh.
And he meets her as a young woman and they fall in love.
Okay.
And the whole thing is that I won't spoil it, but it has a beautiful score. It's a really beautiful film. Anyway, Jane Seymour played his love interest in it.
Right.
While Reeve was filming Somewhere in Time, the local theater decided to show his breakout hit, Superman. Many Somewhere in Time cast members joined locals for the event. Early into the screening, the sound went out. Reeve, who was seated next to his co-star Jane Seymour, stood up in the audience and delivered all of his lines for the audience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Also, at the height of his popularity as Superman, a group of children who recognized him in a park purposefully threw their frisbee over a fence and then asked him to fly after it. Trying hard not to hurt their feelings, Reeve replied he couldn't fly after the frisbee because his cape was in the washer. So they settled for him just reaching over the fence and handing it back to them. And lastly, his close friend Jane Seymour used to call him Superfoot because of his tendency to step on her toes while filming all of their dance scenes. She also named her son after him. So that's like, I was like, I knew it. He was a good guy.
Well, yeah,
he sounds like he went nuts in this film, though.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But also, like, it's Christopher. Like, It might be after him, but it's like, this was like a
no, she said she did.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. It's just, it like, I don't know. If I had like a, I mean, I have a really common name. I guess I would still be honored if someone named their child Michelle after me specifically.
Mm.
I guess it's like, I just, there's a chance that if Christopher Reeves wasn't there, the kid would still be called Christopher, you know?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure, I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure I read that the kid's middle name is Reeve. It's like Christopher Reeve Seymour. So it's like
fully named after.
Yeah, like fully named after. Well, they were really close.
I take it back. Then that's really named after
someone.
That's
really named after someone.
Oh, maybe if I have a kid, I'll name their middle name after you.
Oh, stop. Abigail. Call them Abigail Abigail.
Oh, I was gonna make it a fuck face.
Fuck you, Abigail. And,
after you.
My little child, fuck you, Abigail St. Clair. Do you want to hear some reviews?
Yes, please.
Reviews! On Rotten Tomato, this film has an approval rating of 10%. The site's critical consensus reads, "The Superman series bottoms out here. The action is boring, the special effects look cheaper, and none of the actors appear interested in where the plot's going." It received a poor review by Janet Maslin of the New York Times, although she wrote that Kidder's portrayal of Lois Lane was sexy and earnest, which I found funny because I didn't find it that sexy.
Oh, I found it.
She's beautiful.
I found it earnest, and yeah, yes, she's beautiful.
She's gorgeous, so. But I didn't find her sexy. I thought she was kind of, to be honest, she spent the whole time telling Lacey, he's not into you. She kept saying to Lacey, like, Clark would never go for a girl like you.
Yeah.
And then being like, he's not going to notice your dress. It felt bitchy. Anyway. It fared no better with Variety. The Washington Post described it as more sluggish than a funeral barge, cheaper than a sale at Kmart. It's a nerd. It's a shame. It's Superman 4. Several critics disliked the special effects. Here's a review left by Zach69 in 2007. It's a 10 out of 10 review called The Best Superman Movie Ever. And then 4 exclamation points. I love Christopher Reeve. Same. I loved the first 3 Superman movies. Superman 4 was the best because of one reason. Christopher Reeve.
Oh.
He wrote the story himself. It was great to see Gene Hackman reprise his role as Lex Luthor. The villain Nuclear Man was kind of lame though. Lol. They should have either casted Smallville's Tom Welling as Clark Kent, Superman, in Superman Returns, instead of Brandon Routh, who bears no resemblance to Reeve whatsoever. So this clearly came out in 2006 when Superman came back to the big screen.
Yeah.
Chris will always be remembered, especially after seeing him not only on 2 episodes of Smallville, but Annette O'Toole, who plays Martha Kent on the show, played Lana Lang in Superman 3. Yeehaw!
Oh my god.
All capitals for a long time. Even though he is dead, he will always be Superman. See this movie but skip Superman Returns. Watch Smallville. 10 out of 10. Clearly that kid was 11. I love you, Zach 69. Here's a review left
by... I think
by...
they're older than 11 if their name is Zach 69.
Michelle?
What?
Oh my god. Can you just hang on for a second?
Okay, I can.
Something immense has happened here.
Okay.
Something's coming back to mind. I'm remembering something.
No.
I feel like back in the day, we encountered someone that left reviews and he was under the name Bevo.
Yeah.
Bevo13678.
Yeah.
I've written down one of his reviews and I'm pretty sure we've encountered this guy before many times.
I remember there was someone who we were coincidentally 2 weeks in a row had both pulled reviews for the same guy.
I feel like it was Bevo.
I swear that was Bevo.
He's done so many. Everything gets 10 out of 10. What the fuck? No wonder we've encountered him before. I think it is. I think it's Bevo. We've encountered him before.
Let's just assume this is the universe where it is Bevo13678, because I swear to God it is. I swear to God.
I think it has to be. I mean, like, I would love to confirm, but honestly, just there's so many reviews.
Listeners,
I think I would need a while
to... please confirm it to us.
Please confirm it to us, please. Bevo13678, please tell us if that's the guy. Well, this review I left was the best one of the lot, 10 out of 10, by Bevo13678. I love this movie, especially Superman's quest for peace. That was the best bit. 10 out of 10. And then here's a review.
Wait. I found it in my notes.
Oh, my God.
I literally just looked up Bevo. Oh, my God. We've encountered him a lot.
Yeah, I think we've talked about him extensively.
Bevo13678. Episode 190, The Next Karate Kid. Bevo13678. Grease 2.
Yes.
Bevo13678, episode 188, Critters 3. Bevo13678, 112, speed 2, cruise control. Bevo13678, 092, the fog.
Holy fuck. Bevo is an all-star.
Bevo is the true all-star.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
We need to reach out to Bevo.
We need to reach out to Bevo. That's five episodes from just my notes here, which isn't even, I think that is every episode.
Exactly, because I've encountered him before, so there must be numerous of mine.
And I changed format around Home Alone 3 of how I store my notes.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That's so much Bevo.
So much Bevo. Oh, serendipitous. Well, not really. He leaves a lot of 10-star reviews. Here's the last review left by Guy Hader, 10 out of 10, called "The sequel is fantastic, should be at the top 10 250 This is a great movie. He ended nuclear weapons and defeated Nuclear Man. The critics were wrong. 10 out of 10.
Whatever, man.
Well, that was another of Bevo's reviews. Michelle, what's your review of Superman 4?
Look, on the one hand, reviewing these movies is hard now because this was a bad movie. This was, but we've seen so many bad movies and so many movies that made me viscerally frustrated, like the found footage ones, or viscerally upsetting, you know, like Besmoir, or just movies that just like feel even more shoddily put together than this. But this was already pretty shoddily put together.
Yeah.
I feel like I keep giving it allowances because it's like older, but like 1987 is not that old.
Yeah.
There's plenty of movies from 1987 that do not feel this shunky and crappy.
And it's clearly not because of the time, because it was literally worse than the film that came out 7 years prior.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the visual special effects.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. My biggest complaint is that it's a quest for peace and the quest ends 30 minutes in, and then there's an unrelated quest to defeat Nuclear Man, and then the moral he takes from that is that human beings actually should do the Cold War.
Mm.
I don't know, man. I that doesn't sit well with me.
Mm.
I get the point is that you can't have someone just declare that all war is over, but whatever. This is not the intellectual level that the movie actually wants me operating on.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give it a 2. I guess it is a full movie, and I wish it was more interesting for how absolutely bananas this plot was.
I'm
2.2 because the 0.2 is Gene Hackman.
I'm so with you in that, like, I'm so disappointed by how much more fun this could have been and how boring it was in comparison.
Yeah.
What brings it up maybe a few points for me was literally just Nuclear Man being like a camp little fucking wrestler
yeah,
in his little leotard with like long claws. So for that alone, I'll give it a 2.3.
Yeah, well. Okay.
Just so, similar.
So Gene Hackman plus leotard is your score.
Yeah. 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 Well, guys, hey.
You got this.
Hi.
You got this, baby doll.
Guess what we're on? We're on social media.
Wow.
Oh, we're
that's
on
so fucking hot.
I know. We're on Twitter or X at Rate Descend Pod. We're on TikTok at Rating Descending. Or you can email us at ratingdescending@gmail.com. It really makes a difference.
Or, you know, you could find us on our own socials. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at michelle.stclair. You can find me on Letterboxd now at M. St. Clair. Also, you can find the web series No Ordinary Love on YouTube at No Ordinary Love. You could find Unerased on Instagram at -18youth or on TikTok at unerased.tv. Or you could now watch the trailer for Shippers on YouTube and Instagram at shippers.tv.
And you can't find me anywhere. I'm not on social media. But you can find us on YouTube now under Rating Descending as well, which is very exciting.
Or, you know, once you've done all that, why don't you leave us a review? You're like, these women are pretty funny. I like what they have to do. Even if you're mild on it, go like, you know what? I think young upstarts like this deserve a review.
Even if they don't know what the sun is.
Even if one of them don't, not they don't know.
Hey,
don't drag me into this.
Let's own it together. Let's both take accountability for my shortcomings.
All right, hold my hand. Psych, I know what the sun is, bitch.
Well, that was fucking Superman 4. What, Michelle, what the fuck are we watching next week?
Next week we're watching Jaws 3D.
Oh, dude, yeah. You've watched that so many. Even I've never seen it, but I know how much you've seen it.
I've also seen Jaws The Revenge, because famously my mum once tried to buy me Jaws because I'd never seen it, and instead she went to the supermarket, she saw a 3-pack of Jaws. It was not, in fact, Jaws 1 and 1, 2, and 3. It was Jaws sequel pack, so it had Jaws 2, 3, and 4.
Fucking hell.
It was another 8 years before I watched Jaws 1.
Well, I can't get your 3D glasses on. I guess.
That's what we're ending on?
Yeah.